Also, there's so many AI products that can qualify leads now, do all the, you know, other stuff. Marketing is taking on a bigger role in terms of the funnel itself because they can control it more and because of AI tools. So what does that mean and what does that look like? I don't know the answer, but my gut says we're going to find new channels, or we're also going to take existing channels and make them much more effective.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by The Juice. Our mission is to squeeze out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals to help you push your brand to the forefront of the industry. Let's raise the glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. Jonathan Gandolf here, founder and CEO of The Juice and the host of today's episode. We've got a special one today. We've got The Juice, we've got Tofu, we've got Tofu Juice. We've got a story maybe later for what happens when you put that into ChatGPT and what kind of image you get back. But in all seriousness, I'm thrilled to be joined by Elaine Zelby, CRO and co-founder of Tofu, top of funnel, for those of you maybe unfamiliar with that acronym. But really appreciate everybody listening today. Really appreciate Elaine joining us. It's been fun to get to know her and her team, and I think their product is pretty awesome as well. We'll jump into all of it, but before we do that, Elaine, why don't I stop rambling and let you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself and Tofu in your own words.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jonathan. And I'm also a huge fan of what you guys are doing at The Juice. So I'm Elaine Zelby. I have a super random background. I was a biomechanical engineer turned growth marketer turned venture capitalist, now turned founder. I did undergrad and grad school at Stanford, love building hardware. I still love building stuff. My husband and I together have three 3D printers, which we like to play with, and ended up joining an early stage startup out of college because I realized how slow anything in the hardware space was. I was on the product side, but nobody was doing go-to-market, and I'm extremely extroverted, so I just started doing it. And I loved being the connective tissue between that customer touching function and then anything product and engineering. And so I kind of found a home for myself there. I got really good at what was called growth hacking at the time. And through that, we raised about $75 million from some great investors like Andreessen Horowitz. And their partners kept sending me portfolio companies to help with growth hacking. That turned into becoming an advisor to some VCs, eventually led me to join one and learn the investing game. Spent about 5 years doing seed investing at the intersection of AI and enterprise SaaS. That also gave me a really great 10,000 foot view of what's happening in the world of AI, in particular generative AI. And then I saw the opportunity to go build Tofu and kind of had to jump. So at a high level, what we're trying to do is we are creating a holistic platform to rebundle and automate top of funnel go to market for B2B teams. So we are trying to be the, I hate to use the term co-pilot, so we call it a sidekick, but we're trying to be, regardless of what your function is within a marketing team, whether you are on the demand gen side, the content side, the digital marketing side, the lifecycle side, the international side, we can be an accelerant, a co-pilot, and really automate a lot of your current workflow.
I love that. I knew the VC background. I didn't realize there was a biomechanical engineering background as well. There are some parallel between growth marketing and like biomechanical engineering and like the human psychology and trying to crack it and put it together. And I don't know, there's something there.
I like problem solving and logic and data and things like that.
Yes, run to problems and solve them. I love that. Well, I'm excited to dig into everything that Tofu's up to and kind of your perspective on everything that's happening, AI, content, B2B marketing in the space. I think that'll be really interesting. But this is the Content Cocktail Hour. So we always like asking our guests, before we jump into the meat of the conversation, what are you enjoying drinking nowadays?
I'll tell you what I'm not drinking, and I'm not drinking tofu juice. So that's one that I think I'm going to keep off of my current palate. My husband makes fun of me because I drink about 8 to 10 sparkling waters a day, like in the cans. And we have a soda stream, which I don't use, but I will buy every flavor. I am flavor agnostic. The one I'm particularly enjoying right now is the Polar Springs pink lemonade, or raspberry pink lemonade, which is delicious. And then I love whiskey. Right now, I'm particularly enjoying a bourbon called Rock Hill Farms.
Oh, yeah. That's for the like real bourbon enthusiasts out there. That's a good one. I lived in Kentucky for 4 years, so I know my bourbon well. And it's actually interesting. That's the second time Polar Springs specifically has been referenced on this podcast for sparkling water. So they're doing something right.
They're good, and their flavors are more interesting, in my opinion.
There's a long-running memes about LaCroix and being, you know, essence of lemon in it. So cool. Well, appreciate that perspective. Let's jump into all things AI content. It's been a really interesting few years, and I think a really interesting time for you to launch Tofu. This era of do more with less, and I think it's one thing to say it, but it can be interpreted any number of ways. I think sometimes it just means you have less and you want to do the same amount. I think sometimes it's like do more with more is what they're saying, is like, you're just going to like, we want to do more of everything, right? But I think what you all are doing at Tofu is genuinely helping people take what they have, or even, you know, knowing that they're losing some of what they have, and actually do more with it. I got a quick demo a couple days ago and was really impressed by it. How much has kind of the current market environment actually influenced what you are building explicitly at Tofu?
I think it's less of the current market influencing us. It's more around how we message the value of what we do. And I think it's been an interesting chicken and egg of, we had the pullback in the market generally in the recession. Plus, I'll also credit Elon slashing the Twitter team and people realizing, ooh, we can do that too, with making teams leaner than ever. However, the goals and the metrics and the KPIs have gotten bigger, or at least status quo. They've definitely not gotten smaller like the teams have. And so that kind of came up with this whole mentality of, how do we take a lean team and do more? And I think AI has come to fill those gaps. And so I'm not sure whether that pullback in the market accelerated AI, or AI accelerated the do more with less mentality and letting people stay lean despite the market coming back. It was funny, you know, when you and I met at this event this past week, this was our very first conference sponsorship, and we had some banners. And one of the banners, the very top, said, do more with less. And people don't read banners, but I had dozens of conversations where people were giving me the same story using different language. They were saying, we have a lean team, or we're lacking the resources to get a lot of the stuff done, or we have really big goals we're not sure how to hit, or whatever. And I would just turn and point to my banner, and everyone started laughing, because what they were really telling me is, we have to do more with less.
Yeah. How much of what you're also helping people do, because we've seen this a lot with content, where maybe content is initially a brand and creative endeavor at a company. And then over the last 2 years, it's like, well, wait, we also need this to be a demand gen use case, right? Like, we need to generate leads from it. Like, we were just interested in awareness and impressions. Are you all helping like people actually expand their own personal skill set, or maybe not personal skill set, but the kind of influence of their role within an organization?
Totally. And let me take that question in two parts. So one, I actually want to dive into something you just said around content. So content is the core of literally everything a marketing, and I would argue most early pipeline sales, does. This is the emails people are sending, the nurture programs they're doing, the actual case studies that they're using to get people and to hook them, the ebooks and guides and more top of funnel educational content, the webinars that they're generating for all stages of the funnel. Like, everything starts with content. And so truly that is the anchor, the cornerstone of everything a marketing team does. Now, where we feel pretty strongly and what we kind of benchmark this company against is, we still believe the humans need to do two core things. They need to be the creatives and the strategists. And that means identifying, what is our core messaging and positioning? Who are we going after? What are the value propositions we should use when speaking to them? Things like that are important. Other things around, what should our branding look like? What channels should we be doubling down on? How do we take in data insights and make strategic decisions based off of that, or based off of what we're seeing competition do? Those are the things that the humans want to be doing anyways. The stuff in between, not so much. Let me use a webinar as a great example. Of course, that's going to have to be done by a human today. I think in the future too. Some people might argue with me on that. I think that is a core anchor piece of content where you want that human-to-human connection, whether it's a one-to-one webinar, one-to-many, whether it's a demo webinar, anything like that. However, what you should be doing after the webinar is turning that into blog content, social content, email follow-ups to the attendees, email follow-ups to the registrants, nurture programs, probably extracting out some sound bites, some testimonials, things like that. That's the work that we don't need the humans to do, nor should they want to do that. That's kind of like the manual task that isn't creative or strategic.
Actually, that's great insight. Those listening to the podcast, I know you can't hear me, but I am vigorously nodding along to everything Elaine's saying there, and big fan of kind of content being core to everything. I think that AI has, initially we were worried it was going to replace creative work. I think when generative AI first became widely available, there was some fear that it was going to replace creative work. And I think what you reference is actually exactly right. I think what it's actually allowing is more time for better creative work because it's filling in the cracks elsewhere, like you said. Like it's doing everything else. And I think that creative and strategic work is actually becoming more valuable thanks to AI when it is human, because we've got the AI sidekick to assist with everything else. So I think that's really strong perspective.
Completely agree.
I think you all are on the cutting edge, leading edge of all things AI adoption. You can become absorbed in it very quickly, but I know there are also marketers out there that just haven't had the time to get up to speed on everything that's happening in AI and maybe use it as much as they would want. What would you say to somebody who hasn't jumped on the AI bandwagon yet? Are they missing out, or what should an organization or maybe an individual marketer who isn't using AI yet in their day-to-day, how do they get up to speed on everything that's happening?
There's a lot of stuff out there, and I think sometimes it's overwhelming. I think what I find where people are either reticent or a little bit late to the game, they're afraid to use it. And honestly, there's a very low barrier to entry. And not only that, I've worked with a few people on this before, just getting over that hump of the fear of trying some stuff. And then think about it this way. A lot of the products, whether it's ChatGPT or other products, have some form of chat interface. It is literally a chatbot. Just experiment, try stuff. It does not matter. The AI is not judging you. You know what I mean? Like, you could ask it a really dumb question and it truly does not care. What is so fascinating to me, even within our product, in the chat interface piece, of how polite people feel like they need to be. Like, they truly treat the AI as a person. They'll say, thank you. Can you please do this? Like, using full sentences, which is very indicative of how people are feeling about this right now. But I also think that because they're treating it as if it is a human, they also have fear of either doing something incorrectly, being judged, doing something stupid, not getting the right output. But I just tell people, experiment and play, and it's not judging you, I promise.
Yeah, that's actually really good. I never really thought about it that way, but you're right. It's like, who cares, right? It's just, it's technology. Like, it's not judging you.
And the easiest way to do it is actually start with something that has low cost of failure, in the sense of maybe not even work-related, like having it do research for you, having it go and give you some ideas around something. If you're stuck and you're like, hey, I know we should start doing more LinkedIn posts, give you some ideas based off of these topics. Super low barrier way to just start having some relationship with AI.
I love that, using the personal use case. I've done like travel planning with AI chat experiences, like, hey, we're going XYZ, like, what restaurants do you recommend? Well, what are you interested in? Like, that snowballs very quickly. You'll start realizing other opportunities to use the technology, I think, in your professional life as well.
I'll give you one simple example too. There's so many opportunities to use AI where people don't even think about it. And that's also something that we as builders of AI technology have to overcome, is it's not even behavior change, it's mindset shift. So I'll give you a good example. We've had numerous customers who have spent so long building out their personas. They create those beautiful decks. They're like, this is persona Sheila, and she is this person, and here's what she cares about. Here are her fears. Here are her pain points. But then when it comes to taking that work and putting that into practical application, they can't even map titles to a persona, let alone actually do anything with it. Now, I was like, cool. Why don't we just let AI tell you what titles, broad titles, should fit within this persona? Does it in 10 seconds. It'll create an entire list of 50 titles that map to that persona. Now we can go ahead and pull that list from their CRM or anything like that. People don't even think to use it in ways like that. And so I think that that's where education has to come into play. But there's just a lot of broad applications that are not core to work. It's like the little menial things that fit in between.
Yeah, I've seen some use cases too where people will drop a LinkedIn profile in and say, like, what does this person care about? Or what do they actually do, like, day to day? Like, what are their job responsibilities? There's so much like that where it is, again, it goes back, I love those words you use, just filling in the cracks. Okay, we've got this beautiful persona. It's named, which I think feel like it's like classic marketer. We had a cardboard cutout in a previous office that we always called our ICP. It wasn't Sheila. I don't even remember the name. But like, yeah, okay, now what do we actually do with this, or what does it actually mean? What are the job titles? I think that's like a great example of like kind of filling in the cracks and making it more actionable. I love that example. Okay, you mentioned something at the top. You called it rebundling of AI, which I think is a really interesting word, because we as marketers have started to use AI operationally for all these different efficiencies, but it still feels like very siloed, maybe to use a classic like cliche. We're like, we'll use AI for this task and then we'll go use AI again for this task. But I think what you're doing at Tofu is kind of bundling a lot of those tasks and like you're actually creating efficiencies on top of the efficiency. So do you want to talk about just like what you mean by rebundling a little bit?
Absolutely. And this actually will bring back my VC time. So I was looking at a ton of companies that sell to revenue leaders, marketing, sales, yes. And I kept hearing the same thing over and over again of we have too many tools. And if you look at the average Series A and B companies, they already had over 100 different tools, many of which were just on the sales and marketing side. And there's a whole host of problems that come with that. You have different UI UXs, you have different data silos. None of them are using the same type of branding or messaging. It's just a bit of a mess. But I would say go-to-market teams were some of the worst offenders in buying point solutions that did one tiny slice of a workflow really well. And marketing teams in general tend to also be a bit siloed in terms of what their day-to-day function is. You have one person who just does email marketing. You have one person who just does paid digital. You have one person who just does events or webinars. So each person wanted their own tools to do the work. The problem with that, as we mentioned, data silos, all that, but also cost. Also, we needed to get RevOps to go and pass information between all these things. And executives wanted fewer tools. They wanted one thing. There was a platform that was going to do 80% of all that functionality well, but all in one single platform. And that was an insight I got just seeing so many tools and talking to so many leaders. And I think we saw this opportunity not only to figure out where is AI best used to enable marketing teams, but also to help rebundle that entire stack. One of the examples I like to use is I think Salesforce did a fantastic job of kind of bundling the entire bottom of funnel and post-sale stack. And what we see ourselves doing is doing the exact same thing for top of funnel.
And I feel like that had to be a very intentional decision for you, because I feel like it would make sense for most new companies to start very narrow and then like start to layer on and become a platform, right? That's always kind of like you start point solution, then you become platform. But you've kind of reverse engineered that. You said, no, we're going to start platform and bring this all together from the very get-go.
It's a hard thing to do and execute well. And I think the reason we made that such an intentional decision is that the barrier to entry of building net new products has gone down significantly. It's not just because of AI, it's because of cloud computing. It's because of so many other things that have made building product easier, which also means that there will be more competition on all these little point solutions. And figuring out what the right wedge is also a very risky bet. You're essentially saying, I'm going to go build for this one tiny use case, for this one persona or user, and hope that that's the right way to expand to become eventually a platform. We took the other tact and said, look, we think that content is the core of marketing holistically. Marketing touches all of these different people, all of the different channels, all the different stages of funnel. So what if that is our entry point and that's our wedge? Well, that also implies we have to be a platform because content needs to be used again across all the different functions. And so that was definitely, to your point, intentional, but also a much harder path.
Yeah, I love that insight of like, because it's so easy to build, the point solution is just going to become noisier space to compete in, and you've almost zigged when everyone else is zagging. Really cool. Kudos to you all for jumping right in and doing that from the get-go. What is the coolest application you've seen of your technology, or maybe more broadly, even like AI in marketing and content marketing? Like, what's something that you could use as an example to maybe inspire some of our listeners and how you've seen somebody use the technology?
I'll give a couple. I'll give one that a customer introduced us, which we've now adopted and like so many of our other customers have too, is taking call recordings and automatically turning them into case studies. So most people have a very standard way of what their case studies looks like. For ours, it is three big blocks of text, two statistics, one quotation, and then information about the company. Now I can take an hour-long call, and there might be 7 minutes of that call that is useful to pull out information for that case study, and it will do a phenomenal job. It will map it exactly to our template, do the exact right formatting, find the two best statistics, find the best quotation, and it is just taking what would have taken somebody days, like many days, to go and listen to the calls, pull out some stuff, write the whole thing, like instantaneously. And that's been a really great use case across the board. One of my other favorite things that I've done on that same vein is one of my customers and I had worked together to put together this very long doc that was essentially an internal selling doc for her to go to her other executive teams and get buy-in holistically from the C-suite. And we worked on, it was, you know, what is this tool? What are our pain points? What is it going to help solve? What are the use cases? What's the ROI? And I was like, I wonder if I could use this as a template. And I then started taking all of my historical call recordings from sales processes. And towards the end of a sales process, I would enable my champion by putting together, literally taking the call recordings, letting it auto-populate this template doc and saying, hey, here, go take this to your other executives to make sure that they're fully aligned. That's also been huge for us and so low lift on my end. Some other things that are very cool is just really around scaling one-to-one personalization for all kinds of stuff. Typically, we are trying to tell people that is most impactful in, you know, mid-funnel or at least not completely cold outbound, but taking somebody who's aware of your brand, who's interacted with you in any way, shape, or form. They met you at an event, they attended a webinar, they downloaded a piece of content, anything like that. And now going and creating hyper-personalized email sequences based off of behavioral data and demographic data, linking them to landing pages that are speaking directly to their pain points or what parts of the product they were interested in. All that stuff is accelerating sales processes, increasing every single KPI metric. Those type of things are really impactful too.
I am for sure stealing that call recordings into case studies and sales recordings into business cases. That will save us a lot of time already. So thank you for that. That's awesome. Okay, so we always end these conversations by asking our guests, what's one unpopular opinion that you have as it pertains to B2B marketing?
Here's one that's pretty controversial now that I feel like most people don't necessarily agree with. You know, we have this whole thing of there's a bazillion and one AI SDR tools out there. And my unpopular take is, sure, SDRs, humans will probably go away. However, I also think that the entire role of what an SDR does today goes away. If you think about what an SDR does, they're mostly cold calling, cold emailing. I think that entire workflow disappears, whether it's AI or human. I think that we are going to find the lower the barrier to entry into an inbox, the more spammy it feels, the lower the open rates, the lower the click-through rates. We are already seeing with our customers and everyone we talk to that email, cold email is a much, much, much harder channel. So people are going to have to get in front of people in other channels. In-person events is coming back. Things like webinars, things like organic content, things like building communities, a lot of that stuff is becoming much more impactful. So if the whole SDR function goes away, also there's so many AI products that can qualify leads now, do all the other stuff. Marketing is taking on a bigger role in terms of the funnel itself because they can control it more and because of AI tools. So what does that mean and what does that look like? I don't know the answer, but my gut says we're going to find new channels or we're also going to take existing channels and make them much more effective.
I don't typically ask a follow-up question to these, but I'm really fascinated by that perspective. Do you think, what does that mean for the SDR people, the entry-level sales role? Does that change or does it just go away and like we are actually replacing those jobs in other industries?
What's interesting about the role of an SDR is I think the reason we say it's a training job for sales is just to figure out what track to put them on. And honestly, just to give them some kind of function in the company. I completely disagree that it's a good training to be an AE. If you think about what they're doing, there's very little there that is exactly day-to-day what an AE does. It does not make them good at closing deals. It does not make them good at building relationships. It does not make them good at things like navigating a procurement process, navigating legal and IT and all that stuff. So I actually would argue that no, you just hire people as AEs and train them. And you have to go find personality fits. For example, most people will say people who are D1 athletes make great salespeople. People who are extremely competitive, extremely goal and money oriented, having very good rapport with people. Those types of people make good salespeople. Now, some people who might be in the SDR role today might be much better marketers. Might be much better on the account management side. And so I think it's a little bit more of, as opposed to saying, what are these people going to do? It's like, no. What were they supposed to do anyways? Because they're not going to stay in SDR forever. It's meant to be kind of a training ground. Now, if you think about marketing, let's take marketing as the other side of the coin. If somebody joins as a junior product marketer, you don't expect them in 3 years to not be doing product marketing. So it's a weird thing to say that we're hiring people for a few years, knowing that they're not going to stay in that role.
That's really interesting perspective. I like the sales dev role. I think it's been a really important role for people to experience. I've led marketing teams where sales dev has reported into marketing. So I really like people, and I think you even referenced it, like the D1 athlete who becomes a sales dev. Like the person who's okay with failure and doing a job that is really hard for a period of time, I think is a really good way to learn. But you're right. They're not doing AE activities. So I think that perspective is shifting my perspective a little bit. That's really interesting. Well, Elaine, if people want to learn more from you or about Tofu, what's the best way to do that?
The best place to find me is either at tofuhq.com, which is our website. LinkedIn is also a great place, trying to do a lot more there. And, you know, look, we are really excited to learn more from people, get product feedback, talk to marketers to hear what are their biggest pain points, what are they seeing with AI, where would they want AI to help solve problems for them. So we love chatting with people and are very open to any conversations.
Love that. Well, Elaine, thank you so much for joining today. To all of our watchers, to all of our listeners, I hope you've learned as much as I have. Until next time, cheers. Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by The Juice. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us on app.thejuicehq.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.